It's the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com. Now, back to the doggy duo of Rin Tin Tin Rick Bruce and Lassie Lee Cohen.
It's 9:35, and we're back here with the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show. And we've been talking this morning with Dr. Alan Beck, who is the director for the Center for Human-Animal Bond at Purdue University. It's part of the School of Veterinary Medicine. And Dr. Beck, one of the questions that I have, we've had an interesting dilemma that Rick and I have discovered since the last time that we spoke with you. We had a couple of guests on our show who were in here because it just so happens they're having disputes with local governing boards about certain pets that they've got. In one case it was a chicken, and in the other case it was a pig. And in the case of the chicken, it had literally become a service animal for this small child that had a disease, and it was the only thing that the parents could use to motivate the child to do the things they wanted to do. So I guess my question is twofold. Number one, what's causing these new and different animals to become part of this whole thing? And number two, how big of an issue is this going to be for governing boards? Because all of a sudden, pigs and chickens aren't farm animals. They're part of the human-animal bond. Talk a little bit about that.
It is a growing problem. An issue. Why people fixate on different animals is not clear, and I suspect with some dedicated effort, people, especially young people, could learn to transfer to an animal that could be more safely, humanely maintained. But it's a real, there's almost two different issues. People who are benefiting psychologically, so they don't see a particularly it's not an obvious service animal, but yet it really is a service animal, expect some of the, and perhaps deserve some of the same protections. And that's been a real problem because the ADA, Americans with Disability Act, really just says dogs. And then sometimes small ponies, but it doesn't actually have protection for other animals. And you could argue that this is just not right. And it's a tough call because adding to the whole confusion are people who want to just keep their animals, say, or travel with their animals, and so just declare them to be service animals. Mm-hmm. Or they'll get online and buy a vest saying that this is a service animal. And when the population becomes big enough, it's a real problem. The airline industry is quite perplexed on how to solve this problem. It's caused a lot of problems. It's really a tough call. I think the first thing you have to do when you talk about chickens and pigs is this a safe and humane use of the animal? And if it looks like this is really not in the animal's best interest, how to develop a transfer to some other animal? I mean, young people do this. They transfer from stuffed animals to real animals. I mean, we can do this with patients. So we have to understand that, respecting the animal is a legitimate issue.
So
respecting the people who live near you is a legitimate issue.
Right. Well, let's take the opposite of that. Let's say through definition or through candid conversation back and forth, we define it as a safer humane practice, and it maybe doesn't provide any disruption to the neighbors, then where do we go? You know what I'm saying? Now we're in that perplexed situation. It's like, hey, all these things you're throwing at me, we've already addressed, and yet you're still saying that we can't do it. You see what I'm saying?
Well, then I think it's time for the, those who vote to really sit down with the people who make these kind of covenances or laws and really come up with something that's fair and reasonable. You're right.
One of the problems you deal with, and specifically are, pardon me for saying, and you probably certainly understand this, is, I don't know if the word prejudice is the right term, but too often, prejudice as a a term tends to come, you know, I feel when I hear some of these arguments, you know, you have all the rational, justifiable arguments, and yet just somebody will speak up and say, hey, listen, you know, we're talking maybe, let's say, a 30-pound potbelly pig. Right. And the statement will simply be, it's still a pig, you know, and, you know, it talks about, you know, appropriate environment, you know, you cover all those things, and then still the conclusion is, by, let's say, a board member, it simply says, but it's still a pig. You see what I'm saying?
I know, and I suppose several problems. One, it would be nice to say, okay, what are the reasons you don't want the pig? If there is a hygiene purpose, a noise problem, a smell problem, and if that person can't solve that problem, well, then maybe that's a legitimate confusion.
Sure.
If not, then, as you say, what's the prejudice? And that's the other thing. We those of us, especially who are talking now, who have a real appreciation of animals, sometimes forget that it's not a universal. While 60%+ of all U.S. households have at least one companion animal, it means 40% don't.
Yeah.
And it's not as if all the evils of the world come from that 40%.
Sure, sure.
It's not all the sick people and so on. So we have to realize that's a real thing. I mean, a real, has to be considered. And balance is a very real issue on how to do it. There was some study showing that, you know, allergists often would tell their, especially if it's an allergic child, tell the family to get rid of their animals even before skin testing, just to get rid of their animal. And if you look at the data carefully, though, animal-owning allergist physicians were much less likely to do that
right
than those who did not have animals. So, I mean, there's an appreciation of nature that's not universal, and we have to
accept that.
Sort of work out this problem. There's every few years I get involved in a person who's being forced to get rid of even a dog, small dog, because of the covenances of the neighborhood they're living in, and so on. Even though it's just, not even though, it is social support after a heart attack or just getting old and not feeling well and having a sense of loneliness. So it really is serving a therapeutic role, and it's a very hard call.
You know, one thing I was thinking about when, just because these conversations have been so meaningful, you know, we've had on the show individuals that have had PTSD or organizations that have incorporated dogs in solving some PTSD issues. We've had, you know, there's certainly the CNI dog. We've had a woman with anxiety issues associated with how she was able to resolve her anxiety issues as with a service dog. We have schools that have service dogs that would provide enhancement for reading and such.
Sure.
But my real question is this. On our daily lives, okay, my dog sitting next to me, Rocco, or Lee's dog sitting next to him, or in the family, you know, anywhere out there, or even whether it be fish tanks or whatnot, I think we have a tendency of forgetting how valuable those are to our psyche because we don't have any defined physical issues that we're addressing. You follow what I'm saying?
Of course.
And I'm just curious if you would talk a little bit about that. You know, I think that if we can kind of quantify or kind of connect with those scenarios that are obvious, like anxieties, and then it's obvious that those are gone. I just sometimes wonder we almost devalue or underestimate in a large way socially how important that just is to you and I if we happen to have a dog or a cat or even a fish tank.
Absolutely, and that is why it's sort of important that we're getting the appreciation that animals, especially our companion animals, are part of our social support system, because that we do understand. I mean, the truth of the matter is most important part of your life are other people, and we tend to take them for granted, too.
Hear, hear.
But, and we're beginning to realize that it's not animal ownership is not just for the crazy people who don't like people, because, of course, it never was true, and that it is okay and actually normal and purposeful to appreciate nature, especially our domestic animals, as well as people in our social support mechanism. And we're getting slightly better. I think there really is a, you know, as I said, a slight change. There are more, 20 years ago, it was an uphill fight to try to do a study in an old age home or a living skilled living facility with animals. Now they all have animals. Mm-hmm. So it's happening, you know, so an appreciation. I mean, 20, 30 years ago, the idea of having dog parks, actually using public property just so for dog owners was crazy. But it wasn't crazy if you want to put in basketball courts. So we finally realized that, you know, both serve purposes and both were used. So we're getting slightly better about it. It's still an unclear relationship. It's getting better. And
Dr.
the
Beck,
non-owning population has to appreciate.
On that note.
Yeah, Dr. Beck, I need to jump in. We need to take another quick break. But after the break, we'll continue the conversation. We're speaking with Dr. Ellen Beck, director for the Center for Human-Animal Bond at Purdue University. And we'll be back right after the break on the Mid-Michigan Pet Expert Talk Show on 1320 WILS and 1320WILS.com.